Welcome to the Impact 360 Institute podcast, where our goal is to explore biblical worldview and servant leadership to equip you for everyday influence. Here's your host, author and director of cultural engagement, Jonathan Morrow.
Is it okay to disagree with other people's deeply held beliefs anymore? That's what we're going to talk about on this episode of the Impact 360 Institute podcast. Well, it's been a great week here on our Impact 360 campus as we have welcomed in our new class of gap year students from 15 different states and even Scotland. They're here to explore the biggest questions of life and discover their God-given calling. So it's so fun getting to teach with them, interact with them, and help them explore these questions. I'm one of the faculty, as well as all the other visiting professors we have. If you want to learn more about our gap year for 18 to 20-year-olds, check out impact360.org/gap-year. Well, earlier in the week, I came across an article that was posted at The Atlantic, and it was entitled, "How Trigger Warnings Silence Religious Students. Practices meant to protect marginalized communities can also ostracize those who disagree with them." That's the subtitle. So there's been a controversy because the University of Chicago Dean of Students sent a letter to the incoming class of 2020. And so these freshmen received this letter, and here was an excerpt from it. "Once here, you will discover that one of the University of Chicago's defining characteristics is our commitment to freedom of inquiry and expression. Members of our community are encouraged to speak, write, listen, challenge, and learn without fear of censorship. Civility and mutual respect are vital to all of us, and freedom of expression does not mean the freedom to harass or threaten others. You will find that we expect members of our community to be engaged in rigorous debate, discussion, and even disagreement. At times, this may challenge you and even cause discomfort." Here's the key part. "Our commitment to academic freedom means that we do not support so-called trigger warnings. We do not cancel invited speakers because their topics might prove controversial, and we do not condone the creation of intellectual safe spaces where individuals can retreat from ideas and perspectives at odds with their own." So this has stirred up not just a little bit of controversy. And so all sorts of people are writing on this and everything else, but I actually love it. I think it's great because the college environment ought to be a place where ideas can be interacted about and discussed and argued, even ideas that may make you feel uncomfortable. That's part of growing up and maturing as a human being and as a thinker and things like that. So I love this article because Alan Levinovitz at The Atlantic, and I'll link to this in the show notes at our website under this podcast, but he shares something that's important because he's a religious studies professor, and he says, "Look, it's not my free speech I'm worried about. Professors generally feel confident presenting difficult or controversial material, although some may fear for their jobs after seeing other faculty members subjected to intense and public criticism," and he cites some examples of that. "Students, on the other hand, do not have that assurance. Their ability to speak freely in the classroom is currently endangered, but not in the way some of their peers might think. Although trigger warnings and safe spaces claim to create an environment where everyone is free to speak their minds, the spirit of tolerance and respect that inspires these policies can also stifle dialogue about controversial topics, particularly race, gender, and in my experience, religious beliefs." And so this is what I've called the tyranny of tolerance on display. But he goes on, he says this, "Students should be free to argue their beliefs without fear of being labeled intolerant or disrespectful. Whether they think certain sexual orientations are forbidden by God, life occurs at the moment of conception," and just as an aside, by the way, scientifically, we know that life begins at the moment of conception. That's just not a religious belief. He goes on to say, "or that Islam is the exclusive path to salvation. And conversely, the same freedom should apply to those who believe God doesn't care about who we have sex with, abortion is a fundamental right, or Islam is based on nothing more than superstitious nonsense. As it stands, that freedom does not exist in most academic settings, except when students' opinions line up with what can broadly be understood as progressive political values. And that's a really important point. It's kind of the illusion of academic freedom. It's only freedom if you agree with this point of view. And in the modern university, the majority opinion usually is a progressive, liberal, and secular approach to these things that leaves questions of God and questions of supernatural or anything else like that out of the equation of even discussion, or even that there might be a God who has revealed himself in the Bible and therefore has the authority to make claims about our design as human beings and sexuality and human flourishing and things like that. But the author goes on and says this, "Trigger warnings and safe spaces are terms that reflect the values of the communities in which they're used." And that's a really important point, because just because you're offended doesn't mean that that shouldn't happen in that environment. And so, you know, just being offended by something doesn't mean it's false or it's true. Now, we don't want to be offensive and we don't want anyone bullied and things like that, but it's really important to create a safe place for genuine interaction of ideas. And this is something we take very seriously here at Impact 360, because we're trying to equip a new generation of leaders who understand and take their faith seriously and who can engage with people who believe differently than they do. One of the ways this looks in what we do, I'm the director of Immersion, which is our two-week summer worldview and apologetics experience on our campus for high school students. And one of the things we're trying to help our students understand is, and many times for the first time, is that it's okay to disagree with people, that people can believe very different things about questions that matter, but you can hold those beliefs with respect, but still argue rigorously for the truthfulness of Christianity. So one of the things we do is we take students to a mosque. And so we'll be a group of students. The imam will present, you know, why Islam is true. We'll watch them observe prayers, and then we'll have a Q&A and talk about the differences between Islam and Christianity, for example, or the Jesus of the Quran versus the Jesus of the Bible and things like that. And for many of our students, the vast majority of them, this is the first time they've ever had a conversation with somebody who believes something very differently than they do. And it's a powerful experience because it allows them to take their faith and make it real. And so as Christians, we believe Christianity is actually true, right? This is not a fairy tale for grownups. And it's not just this privatized belief that we want to protect from engagement. No, we want to actually say, no, let's let the best ideas win and let's interact about these things. The article goes on, "If respect requires refraining from attacking people's identity or what they believe, then the only respectful discussion of religion is one in which everyone affirms everyone else's beliefs, describes those beliefs without passing judgment, or simply remains silent." So it's kind of this passive-aggressive tyranny, as Frank Beckwith talks about, or what I've called the tyranny of tolerance, where you see these kind of students who have beliefs kind of go underground. And this is what the author of this article highlights as well as he teaches students. He says, "According to anonymous in-class surveys, about one-third of my students believe in the exclusive salvific truth of Christianity. But rarely do these students defend their beliefs in class. In private, they've told me that they believe doing so could be construed as hateful, hostile, intolerant, and disrespectful. After all, they're saying that if others don't believe what they do, they'll go to hell. And then there are my students, about one-fourth of them, who think no religion is true." So he's talking about a situation where people on all different sides of the issue are really afraid to share and put forth what they actually believe. And when that happens, everyone loses. Because if truth really is out there and we want to discover it, we're not going to find it by simply pretending that these differences don't matter and have real-world consequences. I love how this article ends and closes out. It says, "Without offense, there is no antagonistic dialogue, no competitive marketplace, and no chance to change your mind. Impious, disrespectful Socrates was executed in Athens for having the temerity to challenge people's most deeply held beliefs. It would be a shame to execute him again. And I think that's a really important point. I mean, Socrates wouldn't fare very well in today's academic environment, and yet many people say, well, we need to use the Socratic method when we try to teach our students. So here's a few practical steps on how to resist the tyranny of tolerance. And I've gone into more depth on this in an article that I wrote for chalice.com. I'll link to that in the show notes. The first thing we need to do is that Christians need to stop hiding behind blind faith. You know, football season, you know, it's the fall and we have quarterbacks. And in practice, they wear these red jerseys where no one hits the quarterback because you don't want to get the quarterback injured. Well, guess what? In a real game, the quarterback can take a hit. And yet sometimes we pretend as if Christianity couldn't be falsified or it couldn't be false. And that's not what the New Testament teaches. It teaches that if the resurrection didn't happen, then Christianity is false. Find a new religion. So we can't keep buying into this blind faith idea because it doesn't prepare us to engage well in this environment right now that's trying to impose this tyranny of tolerance. The second thing is that Christians need to read and understand and engage ideas that are different than what they hold to. And this is kind of a forgotten art, even whether it's in Christian schools or homeschool environments or all those kind of things, which are all incredible and wonderful. Sometimes we overdo it by not exposing students to genuine ideas and strong proponents of views that would argue against what they hold. And as a result, we haven't strengthened those muscles to really be able to argue well and disagree and think hard and actually own our faith. And that's an important thing we need to be ready to do. That's a big part of what we do in our on-campus experiences, whether that's the gap year or Propel or immersion, is we try to help students actually put some weight against those muscles to try to use in environments in everyday life. And the last thing we need to do is we need to have the courage to stand up and disagree when we have the opportunity to. We need to graciously push back when our Christian convictions are challenged, because when we do that, other people are emboldened to do that as well. And then our Christian brothers and sisters can actually stand up for what they believe in and let their voices be heard. And then those who disagree with us can let their voices be heard. And that's great. We need to respect people because they're made in the image of God. We need to give them the right to be wrong. And that's an important part of the conversation. Our culture desperately needs to hit the reset button when it comes to the larger conversation about truth and tolerance. And so if we'll recognize this new reality that we're living in right now, if we'll prepare ourselves for these conversations that we know are going to come, they're certainly going to come, and we stand up when we have an opportunity to graciously push back when our convictions as Christians are challenged, then I think we'll be well positioned to resist the tyranny of tolerance. And as we wrap things up, I want to let you know about a free video that I want to offer to you on the tyranny of tolerance, and it kind of goes into some more detail on this and will help you kind of think through this issue. You can access that at exploretruth.tv. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. So on behalf of the entire Impact 360 team, thanks for listening.
For more information about our on-campus worldview and leadership experiences for students and our accessible online courses like Explore Truth and Explore the Resurrection, visit impact360.org. Impact 360 Institute. Know. Be. Live.